Welcome, brave soul, to a month of chills and ghostly thrills. You've tuned in to The Medium Matters, where we're celebrating the haunting season with a spine-tingling series that will leave you breathless. As the leaves turn crimson and the nights grow longer, we invite you to join us for a haunting journey through the supernatural. Get ready to explore the dark corners of history, meet restless spirits, and discover the secrets that lurk within the walls of some of the most haunted places. So say your prayers, dim the lights, and settle in for our Halloween frights. Oh, and don't forget to check under your bed. You never know who or what is lurking.
Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone is living their very best haunted life. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're exploring five of the most haunted asylums in the world. Get ready for a journey into the unknown as we unravel the mysteries and encounter the spirits that refuse to be forgotten. So grab your rosary, say your prayers, and let's get our ghost on, shall we? Imagine walking down a dimly lit corridor, the air thick with the echoes of forgotten souls. Suddenly, a cold breeze brushes against your skin and you hear a faint whisper in your ear. Is it just your imagination? Or are the former residents of these abandoned asylums trying to make contact? Let's find out, shall we? All right, gather round because I've got a chilling tale to tell you about one of the most haunted places in America, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia. This place is the stuff of nightmares, and let me tell you, its history is as twisted as the minds of some of its former patients. So picture this. It's 1858, and construction begins on this massive Gothic Revival-style building. We're talking about the largest hand-cut stone masonry building in North America, second only to the Kremlin. Can you imagine the effort that went into building this place? It took them until 1881 to finish it, but they started admitting patients in 1864. Now, here's where things get interesting. This asylum was originally designed to house 250 patients. Sounds reasonable, right? Well, hold on to your hats, because by the 1950s, this place was busting at the seams with a whopping 2,400 patients. You heard that right, 2,400. But here's the kicker. People weren't just admitted for what we'd consider mental illnesses today. No. They were throwing people in there for all sorts of ridiculous reasons. Asthma, you're in. Laziness, get in there. Women not listening to their husbands, lock them up. It's like they were handing out admission tickets at a county fair. Now, with all these people crammed into this one place, you can imagine things got pretty dicey pretty quickly. We're talking poor sanitation, not enough furniture, and treatments that'll make your skin crawl. Lobotomies, electroshock therapy, insulin shock therapy, they were doing it all. It's like they were running a horror movie set instead of a hospital. But here's where it gets really spooky. With all the suffering and death that happened in this place, it's no wonder it's considered one of the most haunted locations in the country. People who have visited or worked there have reported all sorts of creepy encounters. One of the most famous spirits is a little girl named Lily. Visitors have reported seeing her skipping down the hallways or hearing her giggle in empty rooms. Some have even felt a small hand grab theirs when no one else was around. Then there's the spirit of a violent patient named James. Security guards have reported hearing angry shouts and the sound of furniture being thrown in the wing where he once was housed. But here's the creepy part. When they go to investigate, everything is perfectly in its place. It's like the ghosts are playing some twisted game of hide and seek. But it's not just full-bodied apparitions that people are seeing. There have been reports of shadow figures darting between rooms, unexplained cold spots, and even objects moving on their own. These days, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum is open for tours, both historical and paranormal. And let me tell you, if you're brave enough to spend a night there, you might just come face to face with one of its former residents. Don't say I didn't warn you. All right, let's journey through the haunted halls of Waverly Hills Sanatorium. This place isn't just your run-of-the-mill, spooky old building. No. It's got a history that'll make your hair stand on end. So picture this. It's the early 1900s, and Louisville, Kentucky is in the grip of a nasty tuberculosis outbreak. They're calling it the White Plague, and it is spreading like wildfire. The city decides they need a place to quarantine all of these tuberculosis patients, and that is how Waverly Hills is born. Now, the original building opened its doors in 1910. It was just a two-story wooden structure that could hold about 50 patients. But let me tell you, that wasn't nearly enough. Tuberculosis was running rampant, and before long, they were busting at the seams. Fast forward to 1924, and they'd start building this massive five-story behemoth that could hold over 400 patients. This place was state-of-the-art for its time. We're talking private telephones, a radio for each patient, and even a heliotherapy department on the fifth floor where they would treat bone tuberculosis with sunlight. But here's where it gets dark. Despite all the modern amenities, Waverly Hills was essentially a place where people came to die. Tuberculosis was a death sentence back then, and the treatments were often worse than the disease itself. We are talking about experimental surgeries, electroshock therapy, the works. Now, with all this suffering and death, it's no wonder Waverly Hills has become a hotspot for paranormal activity. People who have visited or worked there have some seriously creepy stories to tell. One of the most famous ghostly residents is a little girl who's been seen running up and down the third floor solarium. Visitors have reported seeing her, hearing her giggle, and some have even felt her tugging on their clothes. Then there's the story of room 502. Legend has it that a nurse found out she was pregnant out of wedlock and hung herself in that room. People have reported seeing a woman in a nurse's uniform hanging from the ceiling, and others have heard screams coming from that area. But the creepiest part of Waverly Hills has got to be the body chute. This was a 500-foot-long tunnel they used to secretly remove the bodies of those who didn't make it. They didn't want the other patients to see how many people were dying, so they would slide the corpses down this chute to waiting hearses at the bottom of the hill. These days, Waverly Hills is a popular spot for ghost hunters and thrill seekers. The current owners, Tina and Charlie Mattingly, bought the place in 2001 and have been working to restore it. They offer tours and even overnight ghost hunts for the brave souls who want to experience the paranormal activity firsthand. People who have spent the night have reported all sorts of creepy encounters. We're talking shadow figures darting through hallways, disembodied voices, and even physical touches from unseen hands. Some have even captured EVPs of children laughing or crying. So if you ever find yourself in Louisville and you're feeling brave, why not take a tour of Waverly Hills? Just don't be surprised if you hear a whisper when no one's around. After all, in a place with this much history, the walls just might be talking. All right, let's continue our tour through one of the darkest chapters in Pennsylvania's history, the infamous Pennhurst Asylum. So picture it. It's 1908, and the Eastern Pennsylvania Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic, better known as Pennhurst, opens its doors. Now, don't let that fancy name fool you. This place was basically a dumping ground for anyone society deemed unfit. We're talking about people with mental and physical disabilities, but also immigrants, orphans, and criminals. It's like they were throwing everyone they didn't want to deal with into one big melting pot of misery. From day one, Pennhurst was a nightmare. It was built to house 500 people, but by 1957, there were over 3,500 residents packed into this place. Now, here's where it gets really dark. The staff running Pennhurst had some pretty messed up ideas about the people they were supposed to be caring for. They called them unfit for citizenship and a menace to the peace. Life inside Pennhurst was no picnic. Patients were grouped into categories like imbecile or insane. And the treatments? Let's just say they weren't exactly following the Hippocratic Oath. We're talking overcrowding, neglect, and abuse that'll turn your stomach. This went on for decades until 1968, when a local news reporter named Bill Baldini blew the lid off the whole operation. He did a five-part expose called Suffer the Little Children. And when that hit the airwaves, people were shocked. They saw half-naked kids just wandering around. They heard the constant noise and got a glimpse of the everyday horror that was life at Pennhurst. After that, the lawsuits started rolling in, and it took almost 20 years, but finally in 1987, Pennhurst shut its doors for good. But here's the thing. Just because the patients left doesn't mean the place is empty, if you know what I mean. People who have visited Pennhurst have reported all sorts of creepy encounters. One of the most common stories is about the Mayflower Building. People say they've seen a ghostly nurse pushing an empty wheelchair down the corridor. Then there's the administration building. People have reported hearing disembodied screams echoing through the halls. And in the basement, that's where things get really freaky. Visitors have felt unseen hands grabbing at them and seen shadow figures darting between the old storage rooms. Some people say they've heard the voices of children through EVP recordings. Imagine hearing a kid's voice pleading for help or asking to play when you know the place has been empty for decades. That's the kind of stuff that'll keep you up at night. These days, Penhurst operates as a haunted attraction during Halloween. Some think it's disrespectful to the memory of those who suffered there, and others say it's keeping the story alive, making sure we don't forget what happened. Whatever your take, there is no denying that Penhurst Asylum is a place with a history that's as fascinating as it is disturbing. So, if you ever find yourself in Spring City, Pennsylvania, and you're feeling brave, why not take a tour of Penhurst? Just don't be surprised if you see shadow people darting in and out of rooms. They just want to play tag with you. Okay, let's journey across the pond through one of Australia's most notorious haunted spots, the Beechworth Lunatic Asylum. So, picture this. It's 1867, and the Beechworth Asylum opens its doors in Victoria, Australia. They called it the Mayday Hills Lunatic Asylum back then. Not exactly a warm and fuzzy name, right? This place was massive, with 67 buildings sprawled across a hilltop overlooking the town. They say they picked that spot because they thought the altitude would cleanse the patients of their illnesses. Like most asylums back in the day, Beechworth was less about helping people and more about locking away anyone society deemed unfit. And in case you're wondering, we're talking about people with mental illnesses, but also those with physical disabilities, immigrants, orphans, and even women suffering from postpartum depression. And get this, it was way easier to get in than it was to get out. For a while there, you only needed 2 signatures to commit someone, but 8 to get them released. What the actual heck? So, life inside Beechworth was no picnic. They crammed over 1,200 patients into this place at its peak, with 500 staff to look after them. There's overcrowding, neglect, and very dark treatments like electroconvulsive therapy, isolation boxes, and pulling out patients' teeth as punishment for self-harming. This went on for over a century until the place finally shut down in 1995. But here's the thing, just because they closed the doors doesn't mean everyone left, if you catch my drift. People who have visited this place, and there are plenty of ghost tours these days, have reported all sorts of creepy encounters. One of the most famous spirits is said to be Matron Sharp. Now, she wasn't one of the bad guys. Apparently, she was known for her kindness to patients and even put her own kids in care so she could work at the asylum and give them a better life. People say they've seen her ghostly figure still patrolling the corridors, keeping an eye on things. Then there's the young woman named Alice. Legend has it she fell to her death from a window while trying to escape. Visitors have reported hearing her desperate cries and seeing her apparition near the spot where she fell. There are also reports of shadow figures darting between rooms, unexplained cold spots, and even the sound of kids laughing or crying in big empty spaces. These days, Beechworth Asylum is a popular spot for ghost tours and paranormal investigations. The buildings are protected by the National Trust, so they're still standing as an eerie reminder of a dark chapter in Australia's history. Some of the buildings have been repurposed for business, but a lot of it is just as it was when the last patients left. So, if you ever find yourself in Victoria and you're feeling brave, why not take a tour of Beechworth Asylum? Just don't be surprised if you encounter a doctor from the other side with a super secret treatment plan. He only wants to help. All right, for our last stop, let's journey to a sprawling complex that operated for over 140 years and has seen more than its fair share of suffering. The Eloise Asylum in Westland, Michigan. So, picture this. It's 1839, and the Wayne County Poorhouse opens its doors in what's now Westland, Michigan. Now, don't let that name fool you. This place wasn't just for the poor. It was a dumping ground for anyone society didn't want to deal with. We're talking mental illnesses, physical disabilities, orphans, and even people with tuberculosis. Over the years, this place grew and grew, and by its heyday, Eloise was like a small city unto itself. There were 78 buildings spread across 902 acres with 10,000 patients and 2,000 staff. It was the largest psychiatric facility in the whole country. They had their own police force, fire department, farm, and bakery. I mean, you name it, they had it. Like most asylums back in the day, Eloise was less about helping people and more about locking away those who were deemed unfit. Treatments consisted of, you guessed it, electroshock therapy, insulin shock therapy, and even lobotomies. But it wasn't all bad, believe it or not. Eloise was considered pretty advanced for its time. They were using x-rays for diagnosis and even trying out some newfangled treatments like music therapy and TV therapy. Now, fast forward to 1982, and after years of declining patient numbers and changing attitudes toward mental health care, Eloise finally shut its doors, but that doesn't mean everyone left. These days, Eloise is known as one of the most haunted spots in Michigan. People who have visited have reported all sorts of creepy encounters. Some say they've seen shadowy figures darting between rooms, while others say they've heard disembodied voices or felt cold spots in otherwise warm areas. There are even reports of people feeling unseen hands grabbing at them. It seems like a lot of these places have the same stuff going on. Are these ghosts traveling between asylums? Who knows? Who knows? One of the creepiest stories I've heard is about the body chute. So, Eloise Asylum had its own cemetery, and they'd use this underground tunnel to transport bodies without the other patients seeing it. People say they've heard the sound of gurney wheels rolling down that tunnel, even though it hasn't been used in decades. Can you imagine hearing that in the dead of night? Good lord. There are reports of objects moving on their own, doors slamming shut, and even the sound of kids laughing or crying. These days, most of Eloise is gone. There are only 5 of the original 78 buildings that are still standing, but those that remain are said to be hotbeds of paranormal activity. In fact, they've even turned part of it into a haunted attraction. Now, I'm not saying you should believe every ghost story you hear, but with a history as dark as Eloise's, it's not hard to imagine that some of those poor souls might still be hanging around. So, if you ever find yourself in Westland, Michigan, and you're feeling brave, why not take a tour of what's left of the Eloise? Just don't be surprised if you hear kids laughing in the empty hallways. All they want to do is play forever and ever and ever. And that is our episode on haunted asylums. This has been a journey through 5 of the most haunted asylums in the world. From the imposing halls of Trans-Allegheny to the distant shores of Beechworth, these locations continue to captivate and terrify visitors with their dark histories and unexplained phenomenon. If you're brave enough to visit one of these locations, remember to approach with respect and an open mind. You never know what or who you might encounter in the shadows of these haunted asylums. If you enjoyed this episode, and I really hope that you did, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Don't forget to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in October, because we're bringing all the tricks and treats and you don't want to miss out. Until next time, this is Chantel with The Media Matters, reminding you to keep your eyes open and your voice recorder ready. You never know when you might capture a whisper from the great beyond. Sweet dreams.